Radio Life, and, well, with the disappearance of Marie Davis, we're still totally unsure about what has happened. One thing the police are certainly interested in, her being a 15-year-old, is her social networking and what is on that and how secure it might have been. And joining us is a cyber expert with a special expertise in cyber security in these sort of areas, Dr. Andrew Kolarik. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Graham.
The social networking that people do, it's almost like another life for teenagers. How aware are they of security issues and what are they?
Well, most young folk aren't really concerned with that. They're still rather immortal. What they are concerned with is making new friends, making new connections, exploring more who they are, and basically just reaching out to other people.
Sometimes I'm a little afraid of creating hysteria, but there will be predators out there that know this as well.
Well, you know, the notion that the world is an absolute safe place is part of the issue. There are predators everywhere, and cyberspace is a very convenient way to anonymously select from the more naive people out there.
In the world of cyberspace, what are the things that people should be doing? I know that the teenagers think they're immortal and just want new friends, but, I mean, maybe this is a salutary lesson to pay a little bit more attention to security. We don't know, but in any case, it is an important thing to do. What should people do?
Well, there's two areas. One is obviously parents have certain responsibilities. And children themselves have to be taught that they have certain responsibilities. As far as parents go, they need to ensure that their children willingly share their internet experience so that they can get feedback and see problems coming before the child does.
What kid is going to do that? The whole reason why kids love the internet and these sort of social networking things is because it's theirs. It's all theirs. It's their private life.
Well, but you see, the thing of it is, it's only an escape when there's not enough involvement by the parents. The other side of that coin is, you know, there's nothing wrong with MySpace and all these other social networking sites, as long as it's done in a proper context. No parent wants to tell their child you can't have friends. And children like to tell their parents, hey, I made a new friend and we're doing this and we're going to be doing that. So I don't necessarily see it as a rebellious thing, unless it's made so.
But angsty teenagers are rebellious just by definition.
Oh, absolutely. But at the same time, when you're talking in the teenage years, they're also smart. And you can educate them as to what they shouldn't be doing. You know, sharing certain personal information,
yeah.
Posting certain kinds of pictures and videos, letting people know we're going to be at this location on this day at this night camping on this beach.
Here's someone who feels like a friend but is essentially a stranger, and here's my cell phone number and address.
Exactly. And so again, you know, children in the teenage years, they can be quite savvy, but it takes some parental discussion, it takes a little bit of maturing, and then these types of sites work out fine.
What are the responsibilities of the site hosts themselves? Do they vary in their responsibility and security?
Well, in most cases, they have various privacy statements and certain privacy settings. And, you know, a lot of it is tech geek speak. Most kids just want to publish and start talking to people. And they really, unless something bad happens, they try to simply steer the users, but they have no absolutes. In fact, some of these websites, some of these social networking sites have had security breaches where the system administrator forgot to turn a setting on and exposed all the personal information and photos and so forth to anybody who wanted to see it.
And there was also the case of Facebook when they were publishing the sites you'd been shopping on and ruined a few people's birthday presents.
Oh, absolutely, among a few other things.
All right. Well, there's no stopping teenagers wanting to give their information to people on the websites. It's like another life. How different is it from real life? You walk outside and meet someone or talk on a phone. You're giving out security information there that you might not otherwise in any case.
Well, in a lot of cases, these second lives start off as emails and chats, and then they evolve from there. So really the issue is, before it crosses into the physical realm, or certain physical realm things like name, you know, last name and address and so forth are exchanged, that's the point where you have to assert some maturity. That's the point where you have to say, look, you have to be cautious. Or if you're going to meet this person, then let's meet in a public place. Let's find out who they really are. A lot of folks on the internet have one persona and then have a completely different one in the real world.
Yes, that's something I wonder when people use their social networking sites and the evidence on there for anything to do with motive or what they might be doing, because you can do anything you like. You can make up your personality.
Well, you can be anyone you want to be. And until that comes into conflict with reality.
Well, let's hope there are, well, maybe ideally, some smart, angsty, emo teenager can give other smart, angsty, emo teenagers really good common sense on security over the internet.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Dr. Andrew Kollerich.
Thank you, Graham.